Psalm 30. So quickly read from Psalm 30. I'm reading from the NKJV version. A Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. just to give you a bit of background to the psalm, the psalm is by King David, and it's clear that King David, at this point in his life when he's preparing the psalm or he's singing the psalm, is no longer the young man, no longer the guy who defeated Goliath. This is a David that's gone through a lot more of life. He's a lot more jaded. He's gone through battles. He's had to escape from his enemies. He's a bit worn out. That's the tone of a lot of the psalm. And he is a man who has experienced being beaten down when he thinks he has it all. It's also worth bearing in mind that this psalm is, at least in the NKJV version, it says it's at the dedication of the temple. But in other versions, you'll see it sometimes refers it to the house. So some commentators might interpret it as the palace. So it's a bit unclear whether it's a dedication of King David's own palace or prophetically over the temple that King Solomon will eventually build. But regardless whether it is the temple or the palace, the interesting point to note is at the dedication of this building, nowhere in the psalm do you actually hear anything about how wonderful this building is, how wonderful this temple is. Oh, what a wonderful job we did. None of that. The whole psalm, the focus is purely on praising God. As David understands, whatever he has accomplished was completely due to God and God alone. So there are effectively three parts to the psalm. First part of the psalm, verses 1 to 3, is effectively a thanksgiving. Second part, verses 4 to 7, it's effectively a personal testimony of David. And then the third part, verses 8 to 12, is a prayer and God's response to David's prayer. These three parts also form sort of a roadmap of how we should approach times of uncertainties and difficulties as we are experiencing now. And just to share an interesting side note is last night at house church, I was like, oh, you know, I actually have a message from 2 weeks ago at communion morning prayer. It wasn't recorded because we had audiovisual problems. Should I just do that message? You know, there were only like four people, so I can share that again, right? And then I was like, oh, but I also feel like I want to share this passage on Psalm 30 because there's a verse in verse 5 that I felt, you know, I should preach on. And then so last night I was still debating after house church. I'll start working on the new message, but I'll have that backup ready. And I was like, and then, you know, by about midnight I was like, oh, I'm quite tired. Maybe I should just like share on the old message and forget the new message. At that point, my Bible app, you know, shares the message of, I kid you not, the verse of the day for today is from Psalm 30, verse 5. So out of, you know, 66 books in the Bible and 150 books in the book of Psalms, it decides to tell me that you should preach on the book of Psalms. So here I am today. So part one, Thanksgiving. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Through these three verses, we see that David is starting the psalm with thanksgiving. And in verse 1, it says, I extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. David knew that everything he has now, his status as king, all his worldly possessions, his influence, all of it was due to the Lord's blessings. Nothing was due to him. And commentators also say that the use of the phrase lifted me up in this verse 1 is actually a metaphor for a verb meaning to draw up out of the water. So you can imagine someone going to the well and reaching down to draw the water up from the well. So not only is David saying that God has lifted him to a place of fame and power, it also suggests that God reached down to pull David out of times of difficulties and situations. And throughout, you know, verses 1 to 3, he continues to praise God for giving him victory of his enemies, for his healing power, and for keeping him alive throughout all his battles. And which leads me to my first point today, is that we should meet our difficulties, uncertainties, challenges with thanksgiving. Now, that might sound a bit counterintuitive, and I would be the first to admit that when I have difficulties, when I have uncertainties, thanksgiving is not usually the first thing I go to when I pray. I'm usually like, God, I have this situation. I need some wisdom. I need some guidance. You know, refer me to a nice verse that I can use to get through this. And it doesn't always start off with thanksgiving. But I submit to you this morning that thanksgiving is good for us and is a solution to our uncertainties and challenges. I would recommend a sermon by Dr. Charles Stanley called Thanksgiving Every Day, where Dr. Stanley goes through the reasons we should be thankful for and how being thankful benefits us. So just to share some of the benefits he goes through. One, it motivates us to look for the Lord's purposes in everything in our lives. Even if we don't understand what he's doing, thanking him lifts the burden. Two, it helps us bring our will into submission to his when we suffer pain or loss. By thanking him in the midst of our pain, we acknowledge his loving sovereignty. Three, it's essential for rejoicing in the midst of suffering. When the bottom drops out of our lives and everything looks dark, songs of praise and thanksgiving restore our hope, assuring us that God is the light in our darkness. It removes anxiety. Gratitude can drive out our worry. And another one, it keeps our focus on the Lord. The situation may not change, but our attitude will, and it'll energize us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And brothers and sisters, as we go through times of difficulties, you know, in our personal lives, in our workspaces, in family, and of course, you know, with the situation in Hong Kong right now, as counterintuitive as it seems, we should start with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Let us not rely on our own selves, our own strength to get through these times. Instead, let us see what God is doing in the midst of it. Thanksgiving requires us to change our mentality to being first and foremost thankful for what God has done in your lives, whether it be in your careers, your family and friends, for this community at SP, for your house church families. And remember, in verse 1, it said, lifted me up. It suggests pulling out of the well. We should always be thankful that we were all once stuck in that well. We were all stuck in that well of sin. But by God's grace, he reached down to earth through his son, Jesus Christ, to pull us out and into his presence. In part 2 of Psalm 30, it says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. This is a testimony of David's experience with the Lord. David recognizes that God's anger is short, but his favor is for a lifetime. He also recognizes his own folly when he thought, it says, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. But he recognized that that's not true. Even at the peak of his powers, when you think you have all the power, all the influence, it can disappear in a moment because it is not based on God. And it is so easy for pride to just creep in those moments without us knowing and thinking we are the reason we achieved what we have now. And he also shares that he is distressed just by the Lord merely hiding his face. David recognizes that his joy is dependent on the presence of the Lord. Which brings me to my second point, that we can trust with certainty that those who seek his face will find joy and comfort. So I was brought to Psalm 30, particularly because of verse 5. In verse 5, the second half, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is also my Bible app, the verse of the day. It's a beautiful illustration of what we can all imagine, enduring the silence, the darkness, the loneliness of a night, but also the first rays of sunshine the next morning, of the birds, you know, chirping outside the windows, and things just coming alive in the morning. And I think, to me, the beauty of this verse is that there is certainty. If I ask my 3.5-year-old daughter, what comes after the night, she can tell me with confidence that the morning will come. There's certainty. What's followed by the night is always the morning. And just as we can be certain that the morning comes after the night, God's comfort and joy will follow any weeping, difficulties, hardships, uncertainties that we may be enduring. In these troubled times, with so much uncertainty, not just in our city, but across the globe and in our perhaps in our own walks as well, we can be certain and encouraged that just as the morning will follow the night, as believers in Jesus Christ, that God's joy and comfort will be with us. And even though the night may seem long, it eventually will end with the break of dawn. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And just a small personal testimony is that for those who didn't know me before SP, was that if you ask family members of mine, was that I had massive, massive temper issues before. So one of my aunt once said to me, oh, Marcus, you know, your uncles, you know, all have pretty bad tempers. Your grandfather also had really bad tempers. But you're sort of a combination of all of them. Your temper is very scary. And, before I came to SP, I was like, okay, that's fine, you know, but I don't mind being scary. But, you know, all, at the same time, I think I knew it was an issue as well. And I think looking back, a lot of it stemmed from the issue of control. I was trying to control certain situations. I was always very uncertain what will happen next. I had no confidence that whatever step that would happen next will be good. And I was trying to manage the process so that, you know, whatever happens to me will ideally be the best outcome. And I think because of that combination of that control, that wanting to take control, in my case, manifested in a lot of temper issues, a lot of anger issues. And nowadays, I just can't imagine if I am not saved, the combination of work pressures, supporting a family with two kids, and with the unrest in the city, how will I handle it if I was never saved? But by the grace of God, I was saved, and to know that He is in control and that He's the ultimate source of joy and comfort, and that the morning always follows the night. And I pray that for us this morning that we will also seek after his face as David did, that we will challenge ourselves to be distressed at the thought of the Lord turning his face away from us. That's the level of dedication that we should be having in our personal lives. And in part 3 of Psalm 30, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord, my God, will give thanks to you forever. This section, see that David is praying for God for assistance, for help. And what is God's response? Verses 11 to 12. How does he respond to the mourning? Is it just purely with peace and quiet in our hearts? No. He always gives more than that. It is with dancing and joy in our hearts. And what does he replace the sackcloth with? Is it t-shirt and shorts? No. Also with more than that. It's with gladness. It's with salvation. God is a generous God, and he always gives us more than what we ask for. It might not be what we expect when we first ask for it, but it's always more than what we could have ever wanted or know we wanted, and it's always at his perfect timing. Which brings me to the third and final point. We can meet uncertainties and challenges with songs of praise and worship. The classic example is Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. This is the classic story of Paul and Silas in prison, but even in their time of prison, they are singing. Now, if I was in the same situation, I don't know if I would be singing. But given we are not in prison, we should be singing. Given that we have the freedom to express our faith, we should be singing. We should be worshiping. It says in verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. That, my brothers and sisters, is the type of life that we should be living. We should not be silent. In one of the children's worship songs, one of my favorite songs is called a song called Joy. And the bridge lyrics goes, you've turned my sadness into gladness. You've turned my sorrow into joy. Now I'm singing and I'm dancing, and I will shout for joy. Recently, each time we sing this song now, P. Mary basically gets the kid, what are we shouting for? And the kids will scream, joy. So, like, if you guys know Everybody Everywhere, whenever it gets to the part where it sings Jesus, like, the kids go wild. Now it's been replicated for this song as well when it comes to joy. And, you know, my earnest hope and prayer for us at SP, at this church, is that that's the attitude that we want. That when we think of joy in our lives, the work that he has done, that we are singing at the top of our lungs, that it is the attitude that we have when we meet our challenges. So can I invite Sam up for worship? So just to recap the 3 points in meeting times of difficulties or challenges. First point is to meet our challenges with thanksgiving. Second is trust with certainty that those who seek his face will find joy and comfort. And thirdly is to meet uncertainty with songs of praise and worship. The great theologian Charles Spurgeon, in his commentary on this passage on Psalm 30, says, grace has uplifted us from the pit of hell, from the ditch of sin, from the slough of despond, from the bed of sickness, from the bondage of doubts and fears. Have we no song to offer for all this? Have we no song to offer all this? So let us prepare our hearts to respond with joy, with songs, with praise, with worship. I encourage you today to meet our situations, whatever it is, as a corporate body, with just energy, with joy, and just thanksgiving for what the Lord has done on the cross for us.
You took away my pain. You turned my morning into dancing. Yeah, smile again, 'cause I had a dream. The celebration begin. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Come on, everybody, let's give Him praise, for He is good. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise You with gladness, for You are. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise You with gladness, for You are. Turn it all around. Hurting, now I'm rejoicing. In Your love I'm found, 'cause I have joy. Oh, You took away my pain, turned my mourning into dancing. I can smile again, 'cause I have. Celebration begin. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Come on, everybody, let's give Him praise, for He is good. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise You with gladness, for You are good. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise You with gladness, for You are. You turn my sadness into gladness. You turn my sorrows into joy. And now I'm singing and I'm dancing, and I will shout for joy. You turn my sadness into gladness. You turn my sorrows into joy. And now I'm singing and I'm dancing, and I will shout for joy. You have given me a joy that won't stop and will never leave. So I will praise You with gladness, for You are good. You have given me a joy that won't stop. I will never leave, so I will praise You with gladness, for You are good. For You are good. For You are good.
Let's turn to our community prayers. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters and family members who are going through cancer and for chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. We just pray for just comfort over the family members attending to them. We just pray that there's a confidence, there's a certainty that joy comes in the morning. Thank you. Let's also lift up family members and friends who are ill and also need a word of salvation in their lives. We just pray for not just physical healing, but also spiritual healing. And for God to just lift them out of the well and to into his presence. Let's pray for our family members who are have going through various illnesses and injuries. Let's pray for full recovery and healing over all our loved ones. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for the right doors to be open for them and for them to know when it is time for them to step through it. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up our Singapore plant, Indonesia, Philippines, and SP New York. Let's pray for the pastoral staff leading each and every one of the branches, Lord God, that you'll give them rest and they'll be able to hear clearly from you through everything that they do. And just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill each and every one of the congregations. Let's lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. They're the future of this SP community, and we just pray that, the members and the pastoral staff that are leading each and every one of these ministries will be guided by the Holy Spirit, so that the kids can learn to walk in intimacy with the Lord. Lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, the well, and the river. Just pray for, just protection over all the ministers in these ministries, and just pray for, that they'll be able to hear from God clearly. We just thank them so much for everything they do behind the scenes for SP. And let's lift up our outreach ministries, SP Lights and Homey. Let's just pray for God to just really move through these ministries, to touch the lives that need to be touched, and for the words of salvation to be passed on through these ministries. House churches that are meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Just pray for a very fruitful discussion time about Kairos moments. Just pray that the house church leaders won't feel any burden in leading the discussions, and they'll just feel at ease, that because at the end of the day, they're being led by the Holy Spirit in what they're doing. And we just pray for just awesome ministry time in the house churches tonight. And finally, let's lift up our city of Hong Kong. Let's lift up the city where God has planted us to be at this point in time. Just pray that each and every one of us can be prayer warriors, and just to pray that God's ultimate plan will come through, and for people to have assurance that God is ultimately sovereign, God is ultimately good, and God is ultimately in control of this whole situation. So let's lift up our city. So, Father God, we just thank you for the Psalm of David, Lord God. We thank you that it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We hold on to that promise. We hold on to that certainty. And we just thank you for everything that you've done on the cross for us. Father, I just lift up my brothers and sisters here this morning. We just pray that they'll be able to abide in you throughout the rest of this day. We just thank you. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.